Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to Stop Child Abuse Now. This is show 2319. Tonight is a question and answer call and discussion show, which I will be hosting. My name is Deborah Hunt, and I'm coming to you live from Glendale, Arizona. Tonight we have a special co-host, who is Felicia Reed. She is here quite often, and she's a trauma-informed recovery coach. She has founded the Put It In Perspective, where she currently works to teach the tools to groups and individuals. If you'd like to join us on the show tonight, you could call in at 646-595-2118, and anybody can call in, feel free to join us. Before we get started, I'm going to tell you a little bit about NASCA. NASCA is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And we have a single purpose here at NASCA, and that's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals. First, in educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. And secondly, we're offering hope and healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Looks like we're getting a really healthy panel tonight. I'm going to go through and introduce some people. Let's go down to the 706 number.
Tammy. Hey, this is Tammy calling in from Pompano. Hey, this is Tammy calling in from Pompano Beach, Florida. I'm having difficulty pulling up my the website to help you put in the names. But I am calling in from Pompano Beach, Florida. I am a survivor of child abuse, and I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to the show. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Tammy. And next we have a 763 number. Let me open up that mic real quick. 763, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, this is Victoria Kelly from near Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Minnesota Ambassador for NASCA. And I do a lot of advocacy, and I'm also a child abuse and neglect sexual abuse survivor. Glad to be here.
Well, I haven't heard. Yeah, it's really nice to hear your voice again. I haven't heard from you in a while. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
Next, I want to introduce Laura. Laura's from Wisconsin, and I'm opening up her mic real quick. Laura, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Laura from Wisconsin. I'm also a survivor of child abuse and looking forward to tonight's show and would like to welcome our guests and say thank you for coming on and welcome to the NASCA family.
Well, thank you for being here. Next, we have area code 111. Let me see who this is. Hello, is this Katarina? Hello?
Hello, hello. Yes, it is me. I'm glad to be part of the show tonight. So glad to be here.
Well, yeah, always glad to have you back. All right. So before we go any further, I'm going to introduce Felicia Reed, and we can get started with some discussion. Again, real quick, I still would like to put out there that you can call in too at 646-595-2118. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce our co-host for tonight, Miss Felicia Reed. Felicia, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. So, as co-host, I was wondering if you had anything that you would like to bring up for tonight's discussion.
Wow. How about we do a round robin on the panel? I really wanted to be of service. I had a bunch of ideas that popped up for the show, but then something told me to, check in with everyone and see if there's a topic or something in particular that we can, get from the panel.
Absolutely. So, and everybody, all your mics are open. If you'd like to ask Felicia a question or bring up a topic, go right ahead. Give you a few seconds if anybody wants to jump in there.
Well, this is Tammy. I do have something that I struggled with this past week, and it revolves around, people trying to tear down your self-esteem. I had someone trying to tear down my self-esteem earlier this week, and I do know that it is up to me, to not let that happen. But as a survivor of child abuse, physical and mental child abuse, with paper thin, it's not as thin as it used to be, but, I have struggled with self-esteem. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know a lot of the fellow survivors do struggle with self-esteem. And that's something that, maybe we can bounce off and, maybe come up with some ideas how we can, if somebody, beats us down, even as adults, because we were beaten down as children. And, when people, they naturally try to beat us down as adults, but as survivors, it could be more traumatizing to us than, the normies, as we call them. So that's what I'm dealing with. So
I like that.
There you go.
Okay, let's take that first. I like that. I love it. Gives me
thank you.
Ooh, gives me chills. I love it. So, I like the word sensitivity. And we're super sensitive, when we have been traumatized. Like, I can hear for probably 5 or 6 miles, and people are like, how is she able to hear everything? How is she able to hear so good? Well, that's my, the quality that has been developed as my radar. So survivors are super sensitive. We don't have low esteem. People would like to think that we do because that's the conditioning. But I like to turn it around to say, no, I don't have, low esteem. I am sensitive to the energy that you are trying to project onto me. And that's exactly probably what you felt, Tammy. Someone was trying to project, their low esteem onto you. And because we have, been somewhat conditioned to think that we have to take it on, that's when it irritates us. We struggle with, do I want to receive this or do I just want to stay in, the powerful zone that I'm in? And I always tell everyone, the minute someone tries to, knock you down or belittle you or make you feel inferior or play on your sensitivity, because that does happen as, as a survivor. People, find out that we have been, or that we've gone through what we've gone through, so they tend to say, I could take advantage of that person because they tolerated it. They went through it, so they'll let me do it again. I tell everyone, look at that person dead in the eyes and say, you have no power over me. I am who I am, who I choose to be, and you will not project your inferiority thoughts about yourself onto me, because that's usually what it is. And if we had known that early on in everything that we've been through, we would have healed
you know, probably faster, better, different, whatever. But mm-hmm. we need to look at people, you know, that try to do that and say, like, there is nothing wrong with me. Whatever you came up with must be in you because you came up with it, you know.
Right.
And just, you know, just look at them. And I know you know how to do this very well, Tammy, but
mm-hmm.
stand your ground and say, you know, mm-hmm. you will not project that onto me. And sometimes you don't have to say it because then it becomes, you know, somewhat confrontational if they're that person. But you can just have that, you know, that in your mind. You will not project that onto me. I am a strong person. I know who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am. And I will not take that energy on. I have been down that path. I'm not going down it again. And you can just keep your little person emotions to yourself. So you have to put up your force field, right?
Right.
But it's beautiful.
What happened to me is, you know, I had a confrontation with somebody a couple months back, and somehow it got fueled back. And this person sent me an anonymous text through an app, a free app called TextNow.
Yes.
TextNow, you're able to send somebody a text and camouflage your number. You basically can choose a number. And this person sent me a text, and they basically called me a liar, called me a joke, and called me a drunk. You know, that I was a joke. And, you know, and I know I'm not a drunk. I know I'm not a liar. But for this person, you know, and this person is someone in my social group. And it was an anonymous text, so I couldn't respond back.
So,
but
Tammy,
let me ask you this
uh-huh. real quick. How did you know it was from someone in your circle? Did they give information, or how did you come to that conclusion?
They did not. But, well, first of all, I found out that it came from TextNow because with the person, there's only one person that I have confronted and called a liar. I had a confrontation with someone, and she lied about me, and I confronted her and told her she was lying to her face.
Okay.
So when I got this text that said, you're the liar, not you're a liar,
you're the liar. Okay, got it.
So I knew exactly who it was. So there's only one person in years that I have confronted about lying. So, you know, what really took me back was saying, you're a joke. You know,
right.
that, you know, as a survivor, you know, the other, it didn't bother me. And I couldn't respond back. But then, you know, I was at a friend's house, you know, we were doing the girl thing, and I looked at her, I said, am I a joke to people?
No.
And she was like, well, of course not. And, you know, when I got home the next day, you know, after I was able to mull over, all I could think is, who is this person to try and define me? They only know a fraction of who I am. They don't know what I'm involved in. And, you know, I had to remind myself that this person, whether it's her or someone else, does not have the right to define me. People, you know, as a child, while I was being, you know, beaten and battered and put down, you know, told me I was worthless and no good. So I'm used to people trying to define me. But as an adult and as a recovering survivor, I have learned that people don't have the right to define me. They don't have a right to tell me I'm a joke. Just because this person told me a joke doesn't mean that I'm a joke. I'm only a joke if I believe it. So, you know, if survivors who are listening, I want to remind them, no one has the right to define us.
Right.
No one has the right to try to tear down my self-esteem.
Right.
And I like what you said, you know, it's not a matter of self-esteem. I don't like your energy. I don't like your perception.
Exactly.
And I don't have to accept I don't have to accept it. I'm
exactly.
done. Go ahead.
So you know, I'm glad that you brought up that it was an anonymous text because I'm huge, as you know, on electronic warfare because it's being used like oh my gosh, what people are doing. If I told you what people were doing, you'd have me locked up and put away in a Looney Tune because you wouldn't believe what can go on with these electronics. You know, people are buying links and these phone numbers and different ways to contact people that they want to bully, that they want to, you know, make it appear like Tammy's going crazy, you know, because it's Tammy. It's Tammy. It's not the person on the anonymous text. And they're buying links and they're buying, you know, these false email accounts and, you know, they're penetrating our devices. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up, Tammy, because, you know, I'm a survivor of cyber gang stalking. And it kicked off going into 8 years ago. No one knew what the heck I was talking about. Everyone thought, like, that stuff only happens in the Matrix. That, I'm like, you know, and I had to go through so much to prove. And then the momentum started building around the revenge porn and how your camera can be taken over and all the other stuff that's coming out, right? Okay, so I get proven right. And I want people to know, you know, don't stay in the warfare. So it took some healing. It took some healing work for me to now get an email from the same type of setup, Tammy, anonymous person, a person who wants to be anonymous, but I know who they are, and they want to email me to get inroads. They want to email me to get my attention. They want to email me because they're miserable. They want to call my office in these, you know, fake phone numbers, just like something what you got, and you know, and mention the exact thing that I'm working on to jolt me. That's what it's, that's the intent, to jolt you, to keep you in that victim stance, to have you question yourself, you know, to have you, you know, go into defense mode. And being the narcissist that they are, they sit back and munch on popcorn while you're trying to figure out, am I a joke? You know, am I this? Then you go like, heck no, I'm none of that. But the minute that electronic warfare pops up, delete it. Get rid of it and say, I'm not even responding. You get none of my time and attention, even though you can't get back to the person because they're doing it in an anonymous way. But just get rid of it, because it is intended to get in your mind. The same thing it did to you, where you turned to your friend and said, you know, am I a joke? That was the intent of it, to have you spend time on it as a distraction, you know, get you riled up, get you back on that path where you got to, you know, maybe question yourself and your esteem. When you think about it, it's their childish, ignorant, stupid, unhealed mannerism. And I'm just going to be point blank about it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, if anyone is going through electronic warfare, delete that crap right away, because it will get into you, even if you spend 5 minutes. And it took me a while. Man, I used to get all kinds of emails, viruses. I think in 1 week I had like 200 viruses attack my Put It in Perspective page. And I'm sitting there spending hours cleaning up these viruses, getting rid of the emails that they came in, and Dr. Oz and cannabis and having sex with this person, and I'm a 5'5" blonde and I like to do neighbors or whatever the link was that they sent, you know, to my business page. And then I realized one day, like, let me just have the webmaster go in and delete all that crap after I archived it, you know, well, to archive it for me, because I needed it to show the abuse. But just thinking about the hours that I would spend initially trying to figure out, like, how in the heck are these people doing that? You know, and the time wasted, even if it's 5 minutes, Tammy, it still got your time and attention. So, you know, they're the joke. They did it anonymous. They're behind a mask.
Right.
They're the joke. Yeah, they're the joke. Don't spend any time on that.
Thank you.
Felicia,
thank you.
Thank you so much for that, and I want to talk to the rest of the panel, but first we have three more callers that I just want to bring on. We have Bobby from Florida. Bobby, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, Felicia.
Well, this is Bobby Hyde from Florida, and he's one of the most very involved people within NASCA. So,
welcome, Bobby. I was muted.
Hello, Felicia.
Hi.
And next we have Angie. Next we have Angie from Kentucky. Angie, good evening. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Angie
I'm from Kentucky. I'm the ambassador for the state of Kentucky for NASCA. And, yeah, my name is Angie. Hello.
Thank you so much for being here, Angie. Next we have, I do not want to mispronounce your name, so if you would like to pronounce your name for me, you're on the air. Okay, so I don't know if your speaker's muted, but you are on the air.
Lesava.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Thank you. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise, but yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Elishaba, and I am a victim of abuse, childhood emotional abuse, and all types of abuse. And I am a survivor, and I'm still in recovery today.
Well, thank you for coming here tonight. And...
Yeah. I've been through all kinds of.
We were just on the topic about self-esteem and people who are being abused, and I don't know how much you were able to hear that, but we have a big panel tonight, so I want to thank everybody who's listening.
Yes.
Did anybody else have anything to add in regards to the conversation?
Yeah, I did. This
Victoria,
is Victoria.
Laura? Go ahead,
this
Victoria.
Is Victoria. Yeah, hi. I just want to say that the deal about being sensitive, I used to be told all my life I was too sensitive, especially by my grandparents who raised me. And I just wanted to bring that up because they would say something or do something really mean, and I would react in a way that somebody would react, and then I would get told I was too sensitive or they would get kidding or why am I taking it so seriously or whatever. And so now I say, when somebody says I'm too sensitive, I say, I'm just sensitive enough, you know, because at one point I shut off all my feelings and then I got into drugs and alcohol. Well, when I got sober, when I was 24 years old, turning 58 next Thursday, when I got sober when I was 24, I ended up starting to feel all these feelings I'd stuffed for all these years, you know. And a lot of these feelings was really difficult, and I ended up in not a psych ward, and I started learning how to be assertive, but I was so passive that when I tried to be assertive, to me, it felt like I was being aggressive, you know? And when I tried to be assertive, the people in my life are going, what's the matter with you? You know, you're acting really weird, you know? Why aren't you like you used to be?
That is
and I had to drop a lot of people out of my life because they wanted me to continue to be that passive person where they could just walk all over.
Let me tell you something. People will use all kinds of control mechanisms.
Yeah.
One of them is playing on your emotions in a narcissistic, disordered capacity. And if you are being sensitive and someone says you're too sensitive or you're too emotional, that means that they fear what you are expressing. It has nothing to do with you. It's all about them. And that is a way to control you. They're hoping that you will tone down your sensitivity so they can abuse you. It's a psychological warfare that they're doing, and they do it in a very narcissistic way so that they can get you in the space where you are vulnerable and that they can abuse you. So if anyone tells you that you are too sensitive, how about not even responding back to say you're sensitive enough? How about just ignoring it and just knowing like, okay, I see you, narcissism. I see you're trying to control me. Guess what? I'm not even responding. Because sometimes when we get into a response mode, we are giving it. That's what they want.
We don't have to defend ourselves. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, you do not. You do not. So if someone says to you, you're too sensitive, just get on to the next topic. You know, just don't even respond to that.
because it's a way to control you, and it's a play on your mind. It's narcissism.
Yeah.
It's narcissism. So good
yes,
for you
yeah,
for getting
just,
rid of
I've
people.
I've just been learning that word and reading a lot more about it, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
I was living with a woman. I just got out of there. I'm in a great place now. But she was verbally and emotionally abusive to me, you know?
Yes.
And I was saying to myself, I'm losing my serenity.
Right.
And then it hit me that I'm not giving her that power. You
right.
know, I've been powerless all my life, and I'm not going to give away my power.
Right.
And she could not take away my sensitivity on my
yes.
Serenity anymore because I wasn't going to give it up.
I've
been in Al-Anon now coming up 37 years. And one thing that I learned in there, it says, I became an actor rather than a reactor.
Yes.
You know,
because yes.
like
yes.
I reacted my whole life to all this abuse. And now I'm changing my thought patterns,
yes.
my reaction
yes.
patterns, and I'm communicating with other like-minded people
yes.
who can support me.
I want to recommend a book. It's called Psychopath Free. It's a very easy read. And if you ever get that book, I promise you, you will walk around with it like it's the Bible, if you believe in the Bible or have a Bible or the Bible
yeah.
concept. Okay, so it's Psychopath Free, and it is a great tool. I know Bill gets, you know, a little antsy about book references, but I am co-hosting, so I'll take a full rank. We need tools. We need reference
mm-hmm.
material. We need these things. So anyway, I recommend that. But the more you learn about narcissism, the more you will be empowered over your own life, because actually most forms of any abuse start in a narcissistic pattern of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Could you just for everybody explain the word narcissism?
So narcissism is the projection and liking of self. We're all narcissists. We're taking selfies. We are, promoting ourselves on social media. Oh, look at me. I'm this great thing. We're all guilty of that. However, there is a different perspective of narcissism when it's in a state of disorder, and that is the state that abusers exist in. It's narcissistic personality disorder, and that is that a person will take control over your life, however they have to do it, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially. All that is narcissistic personality disorder. It's also the practice of making you think that you're the crazy one when you're being subjected to crazy, making you think that you hurt yourself when they punched you in the punched you in the face. You know, the police show up and they tell the police like, oh, I told her to watch out for that wall, and you look at them like, you sick, whatever, you know. That is narcissistic personality disorder. It's taking control and having over others and having no accountability, manipulation on a level that is almost satanic, demonic, and destructive. Narcissism narcissistic personality disorder is a very, very dangerous attribute of abusers, and it's more prevalent today than ever, especially because of our electronics. There's the stalking, and someone, for example, you know, text you and say, oh, I see you're at the drugstore. You're getting those drugs that you like, and you're just picking up some Tylenol, you know, and then that starts to play on your mind, and, you know, who's watching me? How do they know this? And it's meant to drive you crazy. So people that operate with narcissistic personality disorder are very manipulative, controlling, and highly abusive.
Hello?
I agree.
Hi.
Thank you for defining that. Hello, who is this?
Hi.
Hello. Who am I
speaking? Can I say something? Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Yes.
Go ahead.
This is Elishaba again. This is Elishaba. I would like to just make a comment to what the lady was just saying. I live with a narcissist. My husband, I was married to him for 25 years, and he was a narcissist,
mm-hmm.
and he was schizophrenic.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of things that she was speaking about, I went through it. I went through it. So, yeah, I
yes.
know exactly what she say when they,
yes,
they
very
manipulating. Very yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they very abusive.
In,
yeah.
You know, it's a difference when someone just randomly, you know, I don't want to trigger anybody, but it's a difference when someone just randomly, you know, hits you or pushes you or does something random, you know, against you. But when someone is methodically calculating how they will abuse you and plotting and planning and using mental tactics where you look like the aggressor and they project onto you it wasn't them, it was you, it's always you. They don't take ownership of
yes,
anything.
Yes.
It's always
yes.
you. You hurt yourself,
exactly.
You took the money, you didn't budget, you fell down
yes.
the steps, I didn't push you. When it's always you, these are very dangerous and highly abusive individuals. They're very, very, very sick. They're very mentally ill, and they don't live in a state of reality. They don't live state of truth and reality and accountability. So you're dealing with someone who will make up stuff. They're the kind of people that will paint the whole house on the outside red just so you drive by your own house and you don't even realize it, and you come back in and you're like, who painted the house red? What do you mean it's not red? That's just in your mind. Everything is in your mind, you know, even though you like the daggone house is red. No, it's not. It's nothing happened to it. They plant things so that you can appear as crazy or losing it, and then they go for the jugular. They go in for a kill, which is to take your life, drain you in every way. Narcissists are very dangerous.
Yeah.
So get that book. It's called Psychopath Free. It will break things down to you, and I recommend it to any survivor because we are somewhat vulnerable in our because of the traumas that we've gone through. But I recommend that more people today in 2020 become familiar with narcissistic personality disorder,
mm-hmm.
primarily mm-hmm. because of the heavy use of electronics and the abuse cycles that we're seeing today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my husband was very manipulating, and he just beat me for so many years, and I went through a lot of domestic violence with him,
mm-hmm.
and all the way up until the day he left this world, it was always my fault.
Yeah.
Nothing was
yeah.
never his fault. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I understand what you're talking about. And my mom also is a narcissist. You know,
ooh,
she's
okay.
narcissist too.
I've been
abused so much by people in my family and my husband. So a lot of them was narcissists. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, I'm glad you're here with us today, this evening, and that you are safe and that you recognize the form of abuse and realize that it was, you know, abuse and it wasn't normal. So I appreciate that because, one of the tactics of a narcissist is to make you think that what they're doing to you is normal. So, you know, kudos to you.
I couldn't leave. I couldn't leave the marriage.
Uh-huh.
No, I couldn't leave the marriage for 25 years. I was so in love with him.
Yeah.
I could not ever leave. And the only way I got out of it is that God took him out of this world.
Well, you know what?
The only way.
Okay, so it sounds like we have a topic change on narcissism. But, you know, the narcissist is, they're beautiful. They are so charming.
Yeah.
They are
well-liked. Yes, they are.
They are often well established. They are very talented. They don't do what they do to everyone because some people, they need some people to back them up, to say, oh, they're a nice person. They would never do something like that. So they don't do their, they don't work their craft on everyone. They have a very select group. And you're not the only one that he abused. They have a very select group of who they project their narcissism onto, who they project their abuse onto. But they are some of the most nicest people that you ever want to come across, and that is the attraction. So they practice grooming. They practice triangulation. They practice love bombing, coercion, mirroring, and what's the other term associated with narcissism? But anyway, they practice things.
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting. Oh, yes. Thank you. Gaslighting. That's the most important one. Yeah. That is the most important one. Yes. Thank you. But they do these things. And I swear they're not from this planet. That's, I just know that they are very, very different. And that they have a lot of deep unhealed trauma or emotions themselves, or something happened to them, or they became, you know, or they were, you know, users or whatever. But something happened to them because what they do is not normal. It's a very scary situation to be in, and I'm a survivor of deep narcissistic abuse.
Yeah, me too.
Does everybody understand the terminology, the gaslighting, the love bombing, the grooming, the coercion? And does everyone know what triangulation is? Because those are really important things to know in any relationship, not just a narcissistic personality disorder relationship.
Which term?
Who is that, Tammy?
This is Ekaterina. I do.
You do? Okay, and who said they don't?
I know a lot.
Tammy doesn't.
Tammy, which one do you want to know about? Triangulation?
Triangulation? I've never heard that. Triangulation.
Triangulation. It's beautiful that you asked that. Okay, so triangulation is, it takes three people. What triangulation does will pit two people against one. So, for example, if you're, I'm just going to use this example, but you can replace the people with anyone that you like, any relationship. If you are dating someone, they become involved with your friend. Those two pair up and practice narcissism to go against you. Okay, this triangulation happens a lot in families. There's always two against one. That is to suck the life out of you, to empower them. The person that you're dating gets his ego boosted because the friend of yours who was your friend is powering him up, and there's more power being used against you. So it takes three people. This happens a lot in the parental abuse. A parent will, you know, brainwash one child to use them to go against another child. And it will be constant battering on your spirit, your emotions, your mental capacity. Those two are actually ganging up on one person. And you will find this in love triangles, parental relationships. Even some work environments have triangulation, but triangulation is heavily used in narcissism because of the power of two against one. And if two people say you're crazy, then you must be crazy, right? So that is triangulation. Yes. It's a triangle, and it's to have you fold in because there's two people involved in manipulating you in a narcissistic capacity. Very dangerous situation.
And Felicia, I wanted to ask you about the love bombing. I've never even heard of that.
Yes, love bombing is another narcissistic tool that they use. They will, so it happens early on in the relationship. You will receive flowers and chocolates and your favorite color of everything. You know, you're just showered with love and attention and, oh, everything is just taken care of and it's hunky-dory and rosy and, you know, you're just loved up on so much. But in the back of their mind, they are playing on your emotions. It's control appearing as love. It happens in relationships with partners, and it happens in relationships with parents, sometimes in a divorce, where they want to woo a child to their side. They will just love up on that child so that they can get that child's attention and loyalty and worshiping, and then, you know, comes the grooming part. So after love bombing, you're groomed. Then they've loved you. Okay, so they've loved up on you. You're just swooning. Then comes the grooming for how they want to pull your puppet strings. Either they want to use you to go do the abuse to someone else that they've loved bombed you and conditioned you to do, or they groom you to give in to them. So one example is, you know, in my time I had a neighbor who practiced narcissistic abuse to try to get me to be his. And everything, you know, was taken care of. I had, you know, yard work and, you know, things done around the house. And everything was just taken care of at the right time. You know, things just appeared. And the grooming came in, you know, so I could help you pay the bills. I could, you know, be a stepdad to your son. You know, the conditioning to get me to get ready to fall for him. But he is a predator. So they set you up to make you believe that they're this wonderful person with the love bombing. Then they groom you before they get into the coercion and the gaslighting part.
Right. May I say something? This is Tammy. Yeah,
sure.
A lot of times, you know, love bombing can occur after an abusive situation, whether it's a parent or, you know, because I was abused as a child, but I also, and our new guest, Elsa, I'm sorry, I don't want to mispronounce your name, Elsa Shaver, you mentioned that you were abused as a child and then in your marriage, that is very, very common. So please know that.
Mm-hmm.
But in either case, if in fact, you know, you're beaten and battered, did they put you, you know, they beat you, batter you, sexual abuse you, whatever, and you feel broken. And then, you know, like Felicia says, it's part of the right before the grooming process, you know, oh, I love you. Well, my ex-husband used to beat me blue and then send me two doves and roses. And then, you know, it keeps you in there because after the abuse occurs, then they, oh, I love you. And then it's confusing because you love this person and they've beaten you or battered you or sexually abused you or, you know, battered you in a domestic environment. And then they shower you with all this love. And then you think, well, they're sorry. They won't do it again. And then, you know, that's part of the vicious cycle. So I just wanted to add that.
And insert the gaslighting right at that point where they have abused you and tried the love bombing tactic again. Insert gaslighting right after that because here's how gaslighting works. It was your fault. You made them do it. They had no choice. You deserved it. You don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. And gaslighting comes from a movie, I think made in the 1940s with maybe Cary Grant or somebody, where this guy kept flicking on this neighbor's lights, you know, from a distance. Her gas lights. They had gas lanterns. I think it was in the 40s. And he wanted to get her attention by making her think that she was crazy because these lights kept flicking off and on. Anyway, the gaslighting comes from a movie. And he was so intent on getting her attention that he would play with her mind by flicking her gas lights. And so after the, you know, after they beat you, as Tammy described, then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. insert gaslighting, because I bet you 9 times out of 10, 9.5 times out of 10, it was your fault. It didn't happen the way you said it happened. You're crazy. You're making things up. You know, when it's a cycle, and the love bombing, the coercion, the triangulation, and all that yucky stuff, it keeps going around and around and around until somebody takes an exit walk, which is leave, until maybe somebody gets help and they realize what they're doing to that person. But these people are super talented. They're very crafty. I'm going to give them credit and say that they are geniuses, because it's just that they're using their intelligence and their actions in the wrong way. Because if you really step back and look at how they think and how they operate, they have to be a genius because of the time, the energy, the methodology. It takes a lot to abuse someone in that capacity, and they go to sleep, and they sleep good at night. That's a genius. That's a genius, you know?
Yeah.
So I tell everyone to please learn about psychopathic tendencies, and that's where narcissistic personality disorder comes in. And these people wear masks. They could be someone who just brutally beat Tammy, you know, and I don't want to put anything on Tammy, but I'm just using her. They just brutally beat her. They will come over my house and sit at my dinner table while she's hooked up on an oxygen tank, you know, in a hospital somewhere, and act like nothing ever happened. They didn't do anything. They're not guilty. They don't have blood on their hands. And they are able to perform and act in ways that are scary. They have no feelings. They are desensitized. And that's how they are so successful, because they have no emotions. They have no feelings. They have, you know, no sympathy, empathy, nothing. They are almost robotic. And they can switch on and switch off at a drop of a half a penny. Literally, someone can come in your house after just murdering someone. I like to use Hannibal Lecter.
I have.
You know,
I have a question.
Yes, question.
Would you say that the narcissist, the reason why we have narcissists today is because of something happened in their childhood when they was emotionally detached from their parents?
Yep.
Is that?
Yep. They are severely, I'm just generalizing now, they are mostly severely traumatized and hurt. A lot of males are narcissistic abusers because someone told them, don't cry, your private parts, you know, may be crooked or small or whatever, you know, those things that boys go through. But we are seeing that male narcissists have been, you know, greatly harmed, you know, in their childhood, either sexually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and they've been conditioned to not express their feelings, so they don't have any. They don't have any. They don't care. They have no feelings. Yeah. Yeah. Something happened to them. And it could be.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Sorry. Are we going around the panel? Like,
yeah.
You know, I just want to go ahead and kind of step in there, because
like,
conversation.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You've dominated more than
no,
I have.
Absolutely.
And
so
we
want to go down
in a word. It's like, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I want to go down a list, but thank you so much. And so I wanted to go to Laura. Laura, we haven't heard from you. Did you want to add anything or have any questions? We have such a large panel, so I want to make sure we get to everybody.
I wanted to share that I came across the man yesterday who sexually assaulted me and froze with fear, and the things he said just were so narcissistic I could hear the... Now I understand what he was doing. He was gaslighting. He was narcissistic. He was trying to take my power away. And listening to everybody else just really reminded me that I need to take my power back and not let him ruin my life.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm glad you were here tonight, and I'm so glad that this touched you, because that's so important.
Yeah, let it out. Yeah, let it out. Yeah. And, you know, realize it's not you. The level of control that these people can get over, you know, us is it's not normal. So just, you know, continue to heal. Continue to stay in a lot of light, a lot of self-nurturing. Do what feels good, what feels safe. And don't let him or anyone get in your mind. Don't just block them out. We've talked about visualization. You know, when they pop up, create a scene that works for you, the beach or something that works for you, and replace the mind control that they're trying to do. And like you said, don't give them your power. Don't.
No, thank you so much.
I guess the thing that hurt the most was that he said that my sister says I still talk about NASCA. And, okay, first of all, I haven't had contact with my sister in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he had such negative words about NASCA.
Mm-hmm. You know why, right?
And
that makes him insecure, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt so insecure and so hurt, and I wanted to fight back, but I was literally frozen. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. I just...
You know why? Do you understand why you had that that moment of immobility?
No, I don't know
okay.
why.
Because you weren't supposed to react. That was your defense mechanism kicking in, and it's a beautiful thing when we recognize that. You weren't supposed to respond. So your spirit, if you believe, your energy, your mind, whatever, you know, is protecting you, didn't let you respond back. It's a beautiful thing. So flip it around, and you were not incapable of responding. You just weren't supposed to respond, so you didn't. You don't have to defend NASCA or anything else that you're doing to better yourself or to heal. And I love it how your power kicked in and said, oh, we're not even addressing that. You know, and it hurt you maybe because you wanted to get it out, but it was actually a defense mechanism that was working for you.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Take it as a good thing. Oftentimes when we feel like we want to do something but we can't, we are actually being protected. We are actually in a defense mode of protection. And that means that we don't have to, or we're not supposed to do something. Because, you know, instinct is that we want to lunge back. We want to retaliate. We want to respond to everything. Defense mechanism at a certain point of healing will say, guess what, you don't have to. So the forces are not going to let you.
Right.
I
want to thank you for sharing your experience, and just tell you how courageous you are, and that you know, this may help somebody else. And I know I also had the same thing of the self-preservation, because I came to a point where I realized that when I fought back, I got hurt more than if I just, and I did freeze. I would just literally freeze and blame myself and shame myself for years. And I also
I've done that too.
Know that myself and other people I've met also blame themselves and shame themselves about picking abusive relationships after they've been abused. But like the one lady was talking about, these people are good at this. You know, they are intelligent. They know how to spot a victim. They know how to perpetrate against them. And they are really, really skilled at what they do. And, you know, we got to stop blaming ourselves and blaming each other and put the blame where it belongs on the abusers and the perpetrators. And we got to love each other, care about each other, and support each other. Now I'll be quiet.
Thank you so much, Laura.
This is Tammy. This is Tammy. I wanted to just make a quick comment. Somebody had said something earlier. I wanted to remind everybody that this is a this is an open mic show. All the mics are open. So I just want to make sure that, like Deborah said, to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to talk. But it is an open mic show. So we just have to be respectful of each other and just know that, you know, that it is open mic. So if you have something to say, just say, hello, this is Tammy, Matt, you know, and just, you know, just start speaking. So there you
go,
Deborah.
Can we check in with Katarina?
Yes.
We also need to check in with Angie from New York, too. So, Angie or Katarina?
Hi, Katarina here. Hi. Sorry, I just felt like it was great information, but it was like, I thought this was a call-in show. I was so confused, you know, because I'm calling all the way from Canada. Yeah, anyway, I felt like it was dragging on a little too much, I'll be honest, but I don't mean to offend. I know a lot about this topic. I've studied it myself. I've experienced it. But a lot of what I could have said has been said. So, you know, I'll just move on.
So, Katarina, thank you.
Thank you, Katarina.
You know, for thank you for reminding us and reeling us back in and, you know, pulling us back in because, you know, we're all at different stages of either exposure, learning, healing, you know, we're at different levels. So some people are just finding out about things that we've known about or someone may have known about for 20, 30 years. And, you know, like Tammy said, you know, jump in, stop, put the brakes on, interject, let us know. When I'm on the show, the energy tends to go all over the place, like, woo. So I realize that, and I don't want to leave anyone out. And I thank you for bringing us back, Katarina. So, Angie, how are you doing out there?
Hello?
Angie?
Yeah.
You're open. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, I was just listening and just nodding my head a lot because a lot of that is very familiar to me. I lived in a narcissistic relationship with my husband for 25 years, and I didn't even know it until I got out of it.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? That's how crafty they are. They could be abusing you, and you don't even know, you know, you don't even realize it's abuse because they normalize it.
Yeah.
So,
it was
yeah.
the point and where I liked everything that he liked, no matter what.
Grooming. Okay, that's mirroring. That's mirroring.
That's
mirroring. That was the other quality. Mirroring is when if you like blue, they're gonna wear blue. Everything is gonna be blue. Blue is gonna be like you will see blue in everything that they do. They learn your likes and they use them so that they can mirror them. If you like tall, dark, sexy men, and they're 4 feet. They're gonna go put lifts in their shoes, and they're gonna start walking around in thongs because you like tall and sexy men. They go to those extremes to mirror exactly what you like. And when you see what you like, you go for it. So that's the mirror. That's the projection part, and something to be aware of when you notice when you say something or express a preference and all of a sudden that person becomes that preference or starts, you know, an overkill,
you know, that's a red flag. Definitely, you know, if there's some normal part where people, you know, try to people please and it's healthy. Like, you know, if Deb was coming to my house and I knew she liked peanut butter and jelly, well, I'm going to have peanut butter and jelly, okay? That's not an overkill. But when she starts seeing peanut butter and jelly in the bathroom, in the bathroom, under her pillow, you know, when she starts seeing peanut butter and jelly everywhere, that is mirroring, okay?
Yeah.
That is mirroring.
I didn't know how to even live. I didn't know what I liked.
Yep.
I didn't know who I was. After the relationship was over, I was in such of a culture shock that I didn't know what kind of music I liked. I still don't almost.
Yep.
I was under control and I had no idea.
Yeah,
I'm glad you made it out.
For 23 years.
I'm glad you made it out. And you know, and another, like the movie Misery. Whew. Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, just want to make sure, you know, this seems to be a hot topic. And I, you know, there was a time when an abuser was just an abuser. He was just a hitter. You know, that was prevalent. That was popular back in, I think, the 70s and 80s. They were just a hitter. You know, they hit. But now we are starting, as we become more intelligent, we're starting to understand the psychological terminology that goes along with that hitting or that, you know, screaming or yelling or degrading or whatever. And it's got some abusers, you know, stirred up a little bit because we're smarter. And when you start using psychological terminology, and this is another thing that I promote, learn the vocabulary, because they don't like it when you start to speak in psychological terms, and you're right. They don't like when you start to build a frame around them and define them, because they don't want people to figure out who they are and what they're suffering from. So when you start to use terms like, oh, you're gaslighting me, it scares them. It scares them. You know, when you say, oh, you're mirroring me, they'll be like, how'd you figure that out? You know, and the relationship will take a different course. So learn the vocabulary, not just so that you can interact with, not so that you can just interact with the abuser, but so you can get help. So when you go to explain to someone what is being done, you're not babbling. People aren't babbling.
Hi, Angie. Hello, this is Alicia Ba. Hi.
Hi.
Angie, can you hear me?
Hello, yes. Hi, Alicia.
Yeah, I would like to make a comment to what you said, that you was in an abusive relationship for like 23 years, right? That's what you stated?
Yeah, well, it was narcissistic. It wasn't physical abuse. It was narcissistic.
Okay.
And I didn't know.
It was mental. It was mental abuse, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was to the point to where I was wearing things to my clothes, even when I went shopping, even by myself shopping, I would make sure that I bought clothes that were pleasing, that what he wanted me to wear. Never was picking out things that I actually wanted to wear.
That's abuse.
Okay. Yeah, abuse. Yeah. I wanted to say this to you to encourage you. My husband, I was with him 25 years, and he was a narcissist, and he was a psychopath and a schizophrenic. And he not only abused me physically, he abused me emotionally, verbally. All kind of abuse came from him. And what I want to say to the panel tonight is that I've been through a lot of abuse, you know, all through my life. My abuse started when I was 3 years old. I told you my mom was a narcissist, and I went through a lot of abuse with people in my family, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, all kind of abuse. But I have set up a website. I have, because because I have to give back now to all the experiences and all the things that I've been through and stuff that I, you know, God have helped me with. And, you know, now I need to help other people. So I have set up a website. It's called childhoodemotionalabuse.com. And it's a 12-step spiritual-based program. So, you know, I used to be a pastor for 20 years, and, you know, so I know a lot about counseling people, talking to people, and praying with people, and encouraging people, and, you know, showing people a different turn and different directions in their life to take to make them feel better. So that's what I, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to help someone now because I've been through so much stuff, and I have so much to say, and I have so much to give back to someone that need help. So I set that website up. It's childhoodemotionalabuse.com. You know, anybody could go there, just look over what I have there. And I'm also on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central. You know, it's called CEA, Childhood Emotional Abuse 12-Step Program. So if anybody interested in, you know, just check it out, and you know, I just want to help. I just want to help. I just want to help.
That's always a blessing.
It's
so good that you everybody is reaching out like that. Real quick, I need to interject. I just want everybody on the panel to know we're down to 20 minutes, so let's keep our comments a little bit shorter so we can make time for everybody on the panel to come in and say something. I also did want to add, thanks to our wonderful Tammy, who's at my trailer tonight, she found out that the book, Felicia, that you were talking about, you can find it on Amazon for $10 paperback.
Yep. Jackson McKenzie, right?
I believe so. I believe that's what Tammy looked at.
Is Victoria here?
Victoria is still here?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to check in with her. Okay, I just want to check in with you. Does anyone have a topic change or any questions? How's everyone feeling?
I would like to mention that the definitions to me were very, very helpful. I've heard some of them before, and I'm kind of like, oh, I'll learn about that later. So I do appreciate that. And then I also want to say the vocabulary helps myself, and like when I first started talking about my dad, I would say that he molested me, and then I started finally saying he raped me, and just a different terminology. I've heard other people tell their stories, and it's given me the way to tell my story. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I want to thank people for that.
Yes, when you and we can talk about vocabulary when you can get to a point. Because it doesn't happen always right away because we're kind of, for lack of a better way to say it, we're kind of ignorant. And this is what the abusers thrive on. We don't know the terminology. We don't know what's happening to us. We don't understand it. We can't describe it. This they capitalize on that. But when you can learn the terminology and you have to talk to the authorities or resource places to get you some help or support, when you walk in and you mention gaslighting, you know, that takes things to another level. Oh, here's someone who is being, you know, highly mentally manipulated, and we need to make sure that they document, that they have journals, that they are safe. And when you start using the terminology, you know, that they have money put away, because gaslighting involves taking things and making you think like, you know, they never existed. But learn some of the terminology and more will come. So vocabulary is highly, highly important when you get to that level. But in the beginning, we babble because we're traumatized. So it's okay. It comes
with,
you know.
Well, the other thing, too, my dad used to call what he did to me making love. So when I went to the police, the police officer asked me what had happened, and I said my dad made love to me. You know, and he literally stopped the tape recording and rewinded it and said to me, did you want to have sex with him on that day?
Right.
And he went, no. You know, but he was smart enough to know that I was saying what my abuser told me was what was happening.
Yes, very good point. And this is why in today's time there is a push for parents to use the appropriate terminology for body parts.
Yes.
So that's a very great point that you bring up, and I encourage everyone to you know, try to move past the fear of speaking the right words and using, again, the right terminology. So thank you for sharing that.
We have a new caller, Deborah. It's 732 number. Let me see if I can look up who that is, if you wanted to bring them on.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Hi, 732. Who am I speaking with?
How you doing? My name is Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Eastern Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you for joining us. We have Felicia.
Yeah, I was just,
Reed.
Yeah, I was, Jeffrey.
Have you been listening to the show?
No, I was trying to, but the stream on my computer was so bad. Mm-hmm. I thought I would call in and just listen on the line. I didn't know I was going to be brought on.
Oh. Excuse me, Jeffrey.
You are more than welcome to just go ahead.
While we have you, is there something that you would like us to discuss and you can listen, or you have any questions? Or
what is the topic of what you're doing today? So, like,
primarily right now we're discussing narcissism, but we are comfortable with a topic change if there's something that you would like to have us discuss and you listen to or interact with.
Well, I mean, it's a topic that's you know, it's close to me. I'm a little older now, so I'm able to discuss things that happened when I was a kid.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a little braver.
Good for you.
You know, I used to just shut it down and just take it out on people. That was the easiest way out.
We talked about that, and you know, you can interject as you're comfortable. We talked about that, how something is, you know, how the abuse is done to us, and then a lot of males especially ought to project that onto others. They become abusive, right, because it was what was done to them, and they had no outlet. So thank you for saying that. It's very important, and, you know, I apologize for what you went through, that you felt that you had to, you know, act it out, or,
yeah, you didn't do it. No, the thing is, I was
exactly.
I became resentful to the government because they put me in this and into a foster home. It was only for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's enough time to make a
period.
Difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then the problem is when my mother came home from jail, the lady that was my foster parent became my babysitter. So I dealt with it for a little bit longer. It wasn't bad. It wasn't anything terrible. It was just creepy.
Yeah. Well,
like severely creepy. Like severely creepy.
Okay. So, you know, so the sensory powers, when there's something that's creepy, it's usually, you know, an alert, right? So,
well, no,
even though,
no, I mean severe, like borderline. Yeah. No, actually, she should have went to prison.
Okay, so, there was something there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't want to say the whole thing. I don't know your show.
Worries.
I don't know if it'll be too vulgar for your show.
Well, hopefully you'll go back and listen to the recording, the entire, you know, recording, and then, you know, you can always call in or join in and like I say, share as you're comfortable. And NASCA has great resources, and I'll leave that to you.
I just want to make sure your listeners aren't going to be offended.
No. If I may interject right here, this is Tammy, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is who we are. We support survivors in their recovery path. We bring awareness to child abuse as well, but that's who we are. It is an adult show, so you're not going to offend us. And you know, we speak candidly on the show. respectful to our folks on here, but you're not going to offend us, and it is an adult show, so we talk about all kinds of issues on here. Thank you.
Well, thank you
for joining us.
It's very nice to meet you, Tammy, or to speak
pleasure
to you.
Pleasure to meet you as well.
And
one day we'll have lunch.
And
there you go.
Always use humor.
Okay, well,
that's
everybody,
the best way to forget it all.
That's nice. It's a positive
attitude.
Is that why I'm a stand-up
comic?
So right now I just want to remind everybody that we have only 14 minutes left. So let's
keep our comments short.
Up
7 of those if possible.
We do have a big panel, so I want to get to the rest of the panel as well. But you can reach out to us, and we would love for you to come on the show and share your story. We would love to hear that. We do have shows twice a week where we have a host come on or somebody come on to share their stories. Actually, I think it's three times a week now. So if you could reach out to us, one of us,
when's your next show?
You can reach us tomorrow night.
Okay.
So
tomorrow night, what I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna do the story because we gotta build it up for the listeners. We gotta have it to be continued.
Well, we will actually,
I'm gonna do the story tomorrow night if you'll let me. But what I'll do is I'll just tell you the my feelings of the story.
Let me stop you right there, Deborah.
Go ahead,
Jim. Deborah, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Jeffrey, the way we have it is we have a scheduled special guest tomorrow night. Monday nights, Wednesday nights, and Friday nights we have special guests. Tuesday nights and Thursday night are open mic. I'm sure Bill's probably listening. If not, I'll give you my cell phone number, 706-533-8010, and we will hook you up with Bill, and he can kind of tell you who we are at NASCA and possibly even schedule a show so you can tell your story. Tomorrow night will be somebody else telling his story.
I would have to have a pen in my hand because I had a pack of soy sauce because I'm about to eat some ribs.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Deborah. I can't get that number now. Okay, you can? Okay. Text me. It's 706-533-8010, and I will put you in contact with Bill, and you can get the information. We're thrilled to have you here. Go ahead.
Okay, perfect. No, I'm sorry. I was trying to write it down on a napkin, but the napkin wasn't cooperating.
Okay.
It's a napkin issue. It's not your fault.
Okay.
Okay, but before you guys take me, back off the air, the one thing that I wanted to mention was the progression of this of everybody's story of what bothers me.
We're a community of survivors.
When I was a child, I thought it was weird. When I became sexually aware, I thought it was strange. But now as an adult, all I do is think about how detrimental it was. And that's what I hate to talk to children about things that are more than PG-13. But children have to realize that it's going to affect you when you get older.
Right.
And you have to know that it's so weird that it didn't bother me when I was a teenager, but it bothers me in my older years so bad.
Yeah,
that's normal. Well, if you're ready, I'll tell you what you can do because I want to give it back to Deborah. You can either go to the NASCA website, the NASCA.org, and there's a wealth of information there. If you click around, you can see my number, Bill's number's on there, and contact us because we're thrilled to have you here. Welcome to our community, and we'll get it all set up. So with that said, I'm going to turn it back to Deborah. Deborah?
Absolutely. You guys take care. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Felicia, we have 10 minutes left. So do you have any closing comments? Or anything that you'd like to
check in with
recover?
Everyone. just want to check in with everyone, make sure everyone is feeling complete and no one leaves feeling loopy or not grounded, or just check in with everyone. So can we go around? I have Victoria. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling really good. And I want to say one quick thing.
Yeah.
That I was thought I was crazy because I was in out of psych wards. And finally, this woman who I admired very much said, Victoria, you're not crazy. What was done to you was crazy. You reacted normally to an insane situation. And I wanted to say that. But I want to thank everybody because I got a lot of information and appreciate it. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you,
Laura, is Laura still here?
Yeah.
Laura's still here.
Okay. Just check in with Laura, see how she's feeling.
A little triggered, but I can cope with that.
Okay. You have some tools you can use to ground yourself and shake it off and adjust your energy or know that it wasn't you.
Yeah.
And work through whatever surfaces comes up and just keep empowering yourself with it wasn't normal, I didn't deserve it, I'm great, I'm beautiful, you know. Do some sticky work, journal, and just lots of nurturing. NASCA has resources posted that you can reach out to, you know, if you need additional support. And just keep letting things go. Keep surrendering and letting things go.
Yeah.
It's a process. And Katarina, I know you were a little quiet and just letting us work through narcissism, but is there anything that you'd like to contribute before we go off air?
I don't know
if Katarina
is on mute.
She's mute, okay.
She's still there. It sounds like her phone's on mute. So,
okay.
And then we also have Angie.
Angie, yep.
In New York, Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah. Yep, make sure Angie's feeling
good.
Okay, you're good.
I'm good. Yeah,
awesome.
I've got a lot. Been in therapy since I was 18. I've got a lot of good coping skills and mechanisms that I use. And no, I wasn't triggered tonight at all. I wasn't upset at all.
Good.
You know,
we want to make sure that, you know, we take others into consideration and we're all at different levels of our healing. And we want to, you know, uplift you know, Laura or anyone that feels, you know, like they might be a little isolated and unsure or going through, you know, things. So I'm glad that you mentioned key terms such as coping and, you know, not being triggered. And
hey,
anyone else?
Let's see. Sorry, I cannot pronounce her name. Is Slava?
No, it's Elishaba.
Yes,
Elishaba.
Elishaba.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
yeah.
for that correction. Any closing comments? We've got just a few minutes left.
Yeah. I just want to thank, I don't know her name. I didn't get her name. The person, the lady that's doing all the talking. I didn't get her name, but I would like to thank you for giving me more information and understanding about narcissists, you know, gaslighting and different things that you were saying. It really did help to bring up some stuff that I went through with my husband. So thank you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You.
So my name, just to get it back out there, in case you missed the introduction, I'm Felicia Reed. I am here on the fourth Thursday of every month. As co-host, addressing a trauma and helping others to work through as a coach, as a trauma-informed coach, and that's why the conversation gets a little heavy and we're all highly energetic because when I do a show, we get things out. So I work with survivors on every level for overcoming some of the most horrific abuse that you can imagine. So that's just a little bit about
thank
who
you.
I am. Yeah, just a little bit.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Deborah. Yeah, you're welcome. I want to thank Deborah for, you know, driving tonight for us and keeping us going and doing a great job, and Tammy for also representing NASCA. And all, we had a couple of ambassadors in different areas. I didn't catch everyone's area that they're serving in, but I do know where they're calling from. And just thank everyone for, you know, a fantastic show. Any final questions for me, you're free to reach me. If there's something that I can help you work through, I'll try my best. Or if you need resources or coping mechanisms and tools and just someone to say, hey, what do you think about this? I could be that person for you.
Cool beans. Well, this is Tammy. Hey, I wanted to interject and say my last couple of words. I think it was a really good show.
It was a fantastic show.
We were passionate. We were involved. We had a very large panel. Sometimes when we have a large panel, we need to just, like Deborah said, you know, cut it off and give everybody else a chance to talk. I know I get passionate, and I kind of go on and on and on, hopefully not too much tonight. I wanted to thank Jeffrey, who called in tonight. I'm really excited about having him with us, and hopefully he can connect with Bill, and we can get him up and running as well.
Victoria,
so thank you all. I think it was a great show. We did lose Katarina. I'm grateful that she called in, and she has a lot of good insight as well. So I wanted to thank her for being here. Thank you all. There were some folks who were on the show that I have not had the pleasure of meeting before. Welcome to NASCA. Welcome to our community. And Deborah, you did an amazing job, and so did you, Felicia. I love you all. I love my NASCA family.
Yes.
And I will talk to you guys later. Deborah?
Absolutely. And I really want to go back to, again, with exactly what Tammy just said. It was an amazing show. What a great panel and great conversations. And I think there was so much information that was spoke about that is so helpful to so many, not just the people who are on the panel, but to our listeners as well. And I just want to let all our listeners know that you can listen to our show 5 nights a week. We are here Monday through Friday, 6 p.m., my time, which is Mountain Time. And the other time, Tammy, can you help me out with that one? I'm so bad with my time zone.
Okay.
Tammy,
The show, no, I'm here. The show is 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Mountain, 5 o'clock West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think I did it correctly.
Thank you for
week.
That.
6 days
yeah,
a week.
I think so. Yeah. I'm sorry?
6 days a week.
No, we do 5 days a week now.
Five days. We have changed just a little bit. Monday night is a special guest. Tuesday is open mic with a co-host. Wednesday is special guest. Thursday night is open mic with co-host. And then Friday night, tomorrow night, is special guest. It's 5 nights a week.
Got it.
Cool.
Got it. I encourage
everyone to continue
healing. Stay on the path of healing. Tap resources, whether it's therapy, counseling, coaching, body work. You know, make sure you're moving about. Reiki, yoga, tai chi. Nurture yourself. Reach back and help others. And we keep going. So I want to leave everyone with that. And I thank the panel and also Katarina, who dropped off earlier. But I want to thank everyone for a fantastic, highly energetic show tonight. What a way to rock out, right?
Absolutely. And as always, Felicia, we love everything you have to say, and we love your contribution to NASCA. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody and thank everybody. Tammy from Florida, Victoria Kelly. We got Laura from Washington, Felicia, of course, our co-host, Angie from Kentucky, Bobby from Florida. We had, I can't even say her name. I still can't, but I don't want to mess it up. But
Alicia Barr.
Alicia Barr.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Katarina and Bobby, who we didn't hear a lot from. He had some background noise, so I had to keep his mic muted. So, again, thank you, everybody. It was a great show.
Thank you.
Us again tomorrow night, same time. And remember, without a voice, you cannot be heard. Thank us for visiting us here in Alaska. God bless and good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was love. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Talk Radio.